Grey Cups as a quarterback for Saskatchewan and BC, Kent Austin.
Try to encourage people and tell them that. Now, I've had a, I just want to say I've had an unbelievable time this year. This is my first year with the Argonauts. And I was telling Peter, I've been pretty spoiled. I went to coach with Joe Palatow in Ottawa last year, a fine Christian man. And then I got to come to Toronto and coach with Penner, another fine Christian man. So I ran and win a great cup. So I've been pretty spoiled with my young career as a coach. And Peter, I'm these guys. It's been, awesome. Pee Wee, question for you. What aspect of playing football do you enjoy the most?
Oh, the aspect that I enjoy the most is probably at my position, I have to cover the receiver. And it's a challenge for me each and every time to try to stop him from catching the ball. It's a cat and mouse game between the offense and the defense. And a receiver knows where he's going to go at all points of time in the game. But as a defensive back, I don't know where he has to go. And I have to react to what he's doing. And playing within the scheme of our defense, playing along with Clifford Ivey, we have the challenge of trying to make a receiver not catch the ball and gain interceptions and score touchdowns so we can celebrate as a defense.
You did that well this year. There's a lot of religions, there's a lot of different faiths. What is it about Jesus Christ that you believe Jesus is the truth?
You know, it's something that that's down deep in your heart, and it was instilled in me at a very, very young age. I'm going to tell you this story because everybody's going to have their own personal opinion of why they believe that Jesus is real, that he lives within us, and that he is coming back. I was in the third or fourth grade, and we had science class, and the week before that, my father, who's a minister, had Bible study at the church, and so he was going through the story about how God made man and made woman, and how he took a rib from man and made woman. So, subsequently, a woman has one more rib than a man has. So, like I said, I was in third or fourth grade with a science class, and the teacher had a skeleton up there. And being a smart kid that I was, I counted the rib on the skeleton. And I said to the teacher, "That's a woman's skeleton." "Well, how did you know that, Aaron?" "It is, because they had they had tags on the back, one of a man's skeleton, one of the skeleton, one said male, one said female." I said, "How did you know that?" I said, "A woman had 12 ribs. The man only had 11. Wow. I didn't even realize that as a teacher. And that was the exact point in time, but that right there just let me know that, hey, you know what, God is real. You know, each and every day we're going to go through different things in our lives, and things are going to come out in our lives. But that little simple thing right there told me that science doesn't have anything to look out for. God lets us know through the Bible that anything you encounter in your day-to-day life, anything you encounter scientifically, with space, with engineering, with anything, he gave us that ability to do all that. And that little story right there let me know that, one of the reasons let me know that God is real.
That's exactly right. And I had a great pleasure of working with David this year. He constantly reminds me that I am 3 months older than him. And believe me, I could no more play right now than my mind tells me. Hey, listen, 20 years you've been playing. This year you break your leg. They put a screw in your knee. It was the only chance you had to come back and play at the end of the year. You could have just washed out the year by not putting the screw in. That's what gave you the opportunity to come back and play for us. The screw even has a little wash on, I understand, at the end of it. You come back at 41 after breaking your leg, and you still find the motivation to play. What gives you the motivation to continue to play this game?
That's a real good question. I think one of the motivations, you know, every day you go to practice and you work hard and you see the guys every day competing. And I think when you have a great group of guys, when we talk about family atmosphere, it's so easy to come to practice and push and dedicate yourself because you know the heart of each individual on your football team. And they encourage you along the way. So I think what motivated me to really come back and believe I could come back Has a lot to do with our players and believing that we can win the championship. At the same time, the doctor that did the surgery right away convinced me that I can return from this injury. And along, you know, knowing that, you know, from day one, that God's always been with you, and knowing that He can heal. He's the ultimate healer. So when you have that on your side, it's so much easier to have confidence that you can come back and play. Speaking of family and the environment that you know is established with the Argonauts, really steps from the top of the organization from that day on down, and the family environment that our head coach and all kind of sets for us is really why we won this year, in my opinion. But speaking of family, how does your faith and your belief in Jesus help you maintain the balance between your football career and your family life and your wife and your kids?
Well, I'm quite thankful because you know that when you're a believer in Jesus Christ, He is also the head of your household. And with that in mind, you know, I've been blessed with three girls, a wife, and also a grandson. And the fact that through His Word, He talks about we don't own anything, and everything that we have is His. So which allows me to maintain, whether it's my career or my family life or, you know, even my friendships and the things I do have, I believe I'm just a manager. So with that in mind, it really takes the pressure off me and realizing that it's because of me that I have all those things. I know it's a gift from God. For me, it's my prayer every day is to, Lord, allow me to manage my family. Allow me to manage my career that I have. And in the same time, just quite thankful that He's allowed me to have these things. And with that in mind, I can just really, you know, say that it's all the Lord, and it has nothing to do with David now, and or who I am, or what I've done, but it's what He allowed me to have.
Just why Christ Father, that's what I love most about it. Randy Trochinski
is our new chapel leader. He is the guy on our team that helps to organize the chapels before the games and also the Bible studies during the week. He is also in seminary studying. Dr. Price, to one day take your place. I to serve in conjunction with. And Adam Nita is he's from Hawaii. And if you've ever been to Hawaii, they have sort of this little thing, maybe like this, that just means relax, right? And he is like my dad. He comforts me. He takes care of me. And didn't just start when he became my general manager. He did so as a coach. The very first time he coached me, I became the most valuable player in the whole league. So I owe a lot to him. And he's really has a wonderful spirit about him. And thank him so much. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention one of the other players on my team. And that's the person that works directly with me on a daily basis. Lynn Holmes is she runs our office, and she also works part-time, she would say full-time and overtime, but not paid, as my personal assistant. She is just a wonderful person. I'm so glad to hear Lynn. And I saved this gentleman to last, not just because he was in the role going that way, but because he's become like a little brother to me. As he got up and spoke on stage, I probably should have been doing the questions, and he should have brought you the message today. He is, what can I say? When he first came on our team, I had watched him on another team. He had played for another team, and I watched him, and I encouraged him and said a few words to him, not to know that we were going to play together. His son, his only child, is my godson. And he, on the other hand, is a godsend. He's an amazing young man. He is a PK, pastor's kid, and just a wonderful young man, a perennial all-star, Mr. Adrian Smith. Can you give them all one more big round of applause? Thank you very much. Now, in that, guys, I probably should get going. I've been accused more than once of using a gallon of words to express a spoonful of thought. Right? So I'm going to try to be myself this evening. Short. But in that, right, when did this break come? What a fabulous thing. And I mean, this cup was first awarded in 1909 by Lord Earl Grey. And so the original cup, so when you see the guy's choice, the cup, the sterling silver cup at the top is the original cup from 1909. What a great piece of history. You know, the Grey Cup is the biggest event that happens in our country on a yearly basis. And when you win that cup, wow. Words cannot describe. You're talking about a feeling? Wow. You are champions. And that's what I want to talk to you for a few minutes about today. It's about champions. But not the ordinary champions. See, we're Grey Cup champions for 2004. And if I look at my watch, we only have about 3 weeks left. So my question to you tonight is, how can we be a champion for life, right? Is it possible to win at life? That's my question for you tonight. And we're going to try to answer that. And in doing so, I need to put on the right outfit because, you know, I'm a coach. So we're going to try to coach our way through this thing. So I'm going to see if I can take this off. And I'm going to put on my coach's outfit. Now, Sally, don't worry. I can get this right. Game, we're going to call this game the game. love life. And so with that, anybody, you know, sort of, you know, maybe moves a little too fast. I think I have a whistle. Well, maybe I don't have no whistle. I'm fidgeting it around. No, I don't. That's the whistle. And I got a little ball here, right? And so we're going to play a game. And in this game, we're going to talk about how do we become champions in life. Well, as a coach, I tell you, the game of football, Pastor, there's three major divisions of the game. There's the offense. Those are the guys that run with the ball. There's the defense. Those are the guys that say, hey, you shouldn't be running down our territory. You need to stop right now. That's the defense. And then there's another group of guys, right? And those group of guys play on what we call the special teams. And the special teams group are the group, if you don't remember anything else, it's actually the group that actually has the game make sense, right? Because it's actually when the foot actually hits the ball, right? And if you know, Pastor, you were talking about that you know, well, how can the game be football when you carry it most of the time? And that's a little confusing, but we're North Americans, it's okay. but in that, anytime the ball hits the foot, you don't know where it's going to go. We call that special teams. And so, in the game of life, it's okay. We're going to start with a little offense. And then we're going to talk about some defense. And then we're going to go into the special teams. In each of those areas, right, we're going to have a significant point, okay? So, in the game of life, we talk about how do you win in the game of life? Because life is a challenge. Like, what is a win anyway? Right? Is it how big the house I get? Or how many kids I have, how much money or power I have. There's a poem that I recited a few times, and in this, I'm going to try to do this again tonight, and in doing so, remember I'm a football player. So, I'm a giant, right? So, I shouldn't say that, my guys don't front row. No, but in that, guys, I obviously make it light because they're very, very light guys. You have to be to play at this level, but as I recite this, if I stumble a little bit, I'll ask for forgiveness ahead of time. But it goes a little like this. The paradox of our time in history is that we have taller buildings but shorter tempers. Wider freeways but narrow viewpoints. We spend more but happiness. We buy more but enjoyments. We have bigger houses and smaller families. More conveniences but less time. More degrees but less sense. More knowledge but less judgment. More experts but more problems. Drink too much, smoke too much, think too much, laugh a little, drive too fast, get too angry too quickly, stay up too late, get up too tired, read yourself and watch TV too much, and pray too seldom. Indeed, we have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. We talk too much, love too seldom, and hate too often. We've learned how to make a living, but not a life. We've added years to life, but not life to years. We've been all the way to the moon and back, but have trouble crossing the street. Conquered outer space, but not inner space. We've done larger things, but not better things. We cleaned up the air, but we lose the soul. We split the atom, but not our prejudice. We write more, but learn less. We plan more, but accomplish less. We've learned too much, but not too late. We build more computers, the whole information, to produce more copies than ever before, but have less communication. These are the times of fast food and slow digestion. Of tall men and short characters, deep pockets, and shallow relationships. These are times of world peace but domestic warfare, of more leisure but less fun, of more kinds of food but less nutrition. These are the days of quick trips to social life, to throwaway morality, one night stands, overweight bodies, and filled with everything from cheer to quiet to kill. It's a time when there's much in the showroom window and nothing in the stockroom. It's a time when technology can bring you this by email, and it's a time when you can either choose to share this insight or just hit. What I'll ask you to do tonight is not to delete. When it comes to the game of life, the very first thing, as we take the ball on offense and Damon Allen gets behind center, the quarterback gets ready to run the ball down the field of the game of life, the very first thing you need to know that it's not about stuff. If you're going to be successful, if you're going to be a champion in life, the very first thing you need to understand is life is not about stuff. Well, we got a playbook involved in this game as well. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go to the sixth book of the New Testament. That would be Romans, also referred to as Paul's letter to the church in Rome. And in the book of Romans, we will see a little bit about this. When it talks about, it is not about stuff. Right? Now, in that, if we go to Romans and we go to chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, and Romans chapter 8 is going to be in the game of life that we're going to play this evening. Romans chapter 8 is our playbook. Now, every once in a while, we'll call the audible, and we'll go somewhere else in our playbook. But our game plan this week is Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. So when you go home this evening or sometime this week, I want you to take another read through Romans chapter 8. That's our game plan for today. Okay? So Romans 8. So if we go in Romans 8, and we look at the first verse in Romans 8, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So those who don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If we move on down to verse 5, it says, "For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Now, can we move on to verse 6 and continue? And it says, "For to be carnally minded is death." Do we get it? To win in the game of life, you cannot be carnally minded. You cannot live according to the flesh. And then it will continue in verse 6. "But to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Offense. First thing, guys, offense. To win in the game of life, the very first thing you got to know, right, is that you have to walk in the Spirit. Right? That's where our offense is played, to be successful in life. That's simple. It's very simple. Right? In order to win in life, right, it's not about stuff. I want you to say that with me. It's not about stuff. Right after I say it, you say it. It's not about stuff.
It's not about stuff.
You got to walk in the Spirit.
It's
not about stuff.
Not about stuff.
Gotta
walk in the Spirit.
You see, we get so consumed with things. I never forget a sign I saw, the Salvation Army wall. It says, we as people ought to stop loving things and using people and start loving people and using things. Mm. You talk about walking according to the flesh. It means trying to satisfy our flesh. Trying to get stuff to satisfy it. You'll never satisfy your flesh. The only way we can have life and peace is by walking in the Spirit. Now, the Spirit has this reward. So I told you that our main game plan was going to be in Romans 8. But every once in a while, you got to call an audible. Because when you go out and you think the team's going to play zone defense and they change the man, you got to have a little something else. So as a little audible, right, I just want you to flip over, if you can, to Galatians 5, 22, and 23. So if you want to know where Galatians is, that don't eat popcorn. You know, all those books in there that end in IANS, right? It's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go eat popcorn, right? That's how you do that. Okay? So, Galatians, all right. So we have Galatians. Galatians 5, 22. Now, Galatians 5, 22. So when we talk about, why should I walk in the Spirit, right? Because, you know, I want a new car. Right. What is walking in the Spirit going to do? You know, how does that relate to the new car that I want? Right. Well, I want to maybe just read here, and you'll figure it out for yourself. Galatians 5:22 suggests this. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these, you know what? That's our offense. But, you know, we can just change that verse a little bit, Lord, if you allow me, right? Because at the end, instead of against this, there is no law, we can say against this, there is no defense. There is no defense that can stop that offense. Walking in the Spirit, there isn't a defense on the face of the earth that is able to stop walking in the Spirit. You see,
say, but I need a new car. Well, what do I need with a new car if I have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? If I have all that, what do I need with a new car? A car seems frivolous at this point, right? And indeed, that's what it is. I told you I get long-winded, so I promise you move on. Now we got to play some defense in this game, right? Because every once in a while, right? Because you can say, I can try to help you. You know, when you give, you get. There's a natural law, right? When you get stuff, you want more, right? That's how we tweet, right? But to really win, right, you give. And when you give, you find out you get. But you know, even when you give, it hurts sometimes. Right? People are not always grateful. But it's not even people. Sometimes it's life. Right. We got the wonderful chance to be involved with the Children's Miracle Network. And in that, got a chance to travel with these young kids who are called Children's Champions. And you know the telethon that they have every year in June, where Donna Marie Osmond hosts this telethon and they raise money for youth hospitals, right? Well, I got a chance to be the spokesperson for the kids in Canada for a couple of years. And during that time, I got a chance to meet some wonderful young people. And these young people have been in the hospital for much of their lives, but through that, it's shown a spirit that has been able to encourage others. And this summer, during our season, I got a call. And actually, Lynn took the call, and she says, Mike, not so good news. A friend of yours isn't doing so well. Well, by the time we were able to call back, she had passed away. Little Janelle Wiedekopf was only 15 years old. I had met her. In one of those things where you're trying to give back and do a part. But you know, even when you do that, it doesn't always work out. God, that's not bad. So what do you say about that? You say, there's some things in life that just aren't bad. I grew up to a single parent for the most part. Right? My mom married when I was 14. My dad and I didn't have an abrasive relationship. We didn't know each other. Well, we knew each other, but we didn't spend time together, if that makes sense. And in that, he came to his first game as a pro about a year ago. He came to a playoff game, so he didn't see me play as a pro. But he came to his first game, and doing so, playing in the playoff game against the BC Lions, and it worked out well, and he enjoyed himself so much that he decided to stay the whole week, and he stayed, and our owners flew him down to Montreal, and our president, Keith Pellet, put him on the flight with him, and he got a chance to sit in the owner's box, and he was going to come back to training camp this year, but on April 20th, he passed away. And so life presents challenges for us. It does. And so how do you win? Is there any way to win in that kind of situation? Well, our defense is this, guys. In order to win in the game of life, you gotta know where our defense is. Our middle linebacker, you gotta mix all the tackles. He's the big guy at all. Middle linebacker is the Word of God. But not only that, we've got another defensive player, because in here, this is our playbook. When we have challenges about life, right? When we can go there and we can get a better understanding, right? Because when we go here and we say, well, how can you explain little Janelle? That doesn't make sense. You know, little Janelle was a strong Christian and she professed Christ in her death. She knew that Romans 8:18, back to that Romans 8, back to our game plan one more time. If you look at Romans 8:18, it will say, I consider the suffering of this world, what? Not to be compared with the glory we shall receive in heaven. You get that? You're talking about breakup Sunday, man. Woo! That was a little thing. It was glorious when we were down on the field and the stuff started to come down out of the air. It was a surreal moment. But can you imagine the party that's going to go on in the heavens when we get there? Wow. So our game plan goes back to Romans 8 again, and it says, I consider the sufferings of this world. I consider what Janelle had to go through, right? Not to be compared with the glory she's going to receive.
not only that, if we go a little bit further in Romans 8:28, it says, for all things. How many things?
All.
Now, does that have any exceptions there? Does that say, well, Mike, when your dad comes and you got a chance to build a little bit more of a relationship, he was going to come back? That's not fair. So certainly that can't be working out. No. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Now, you want to be a champion of the life. Understand that you need to have great offense. That means you need to walk in the Spirit. But you also got to play some defense. You can't win with all offense. You got to have a defense on the field that can stop the other team, right? And when the enemy says, this is the way it is, or that is the way it is, because it gives you death and hurt and pain and brings other things, you can look in there in Romans 8:31, a little bit further down in that chapter, in our game plan there. I've actually moved, I'm sorry. But in that, in Romans 8:31, it will say very concretely, what then shall we say to these things? And so to these things, that's anything you tell me. Right? Mike, I've gone to a single parent. I've been there too. Right? Send me something else. Right? Well, Mike, I was abused as a child. I don't know anything about that. But right here it says, what then shall we say to these things? So it's whatever you bring along. What then shall we say to these? If God is for us, then who can be against us? Our defense guy is understanding God's got your back. Say that with me. God's got your back.
God's got your back.
One more time. God's got your back.
God's got your back.
All right. So in that, first thing is we need to walk in the Spirit, right? That's our offense, right? That's how we're only offensive. On a daily basis, we can have love, joy, peace, and all of those things that the Spirit brings us. That's what the Holy Spirit brings to us, right? Now, sometimes things are going to come at us, but you need to know you have the Word of God to back you up during those times. But not only that, right? As any good coach, if a coach gives you a playbook, he'll also say, hey, listen, if you don't understand that part, talk to me. So, God has given us a way. When we really don't understand, and it's just worried us to a point that we can't come to grips with it, this is inexplicable, He says, talk to me. I'll explain the playbook to you. And as you pray, sometimes He gives you an answer. But then there are other times that, I love this description. He says, sometimes I'm not going to answer you. He says, but if you come to me and you ask and you request, I will give you a peace that transcends all understanding. You know how deep that is? He's saying that, listen, you got one of the most gut-wrenching questions in your life. Something that is bothering you, that keeps you up late at night, that wakes you up in the morning, that keeps you from eating. The worst, the toughest question you can think of, right? And he says, you know what I do with that question? If you come and talk to me, he says, I'll give you an answer to it. But if I don't, he says, I'm going to give you the peace of God that transcends, that overcomes, that defeats any level of understanding I can give you. In other words, it's better than an answer. Isn't that cool? He'll give you no answer that's better than an answer. That's what he's saying. Because even if he gives you an answer, you might struggle a little bit with it, right? Right. But he's saying, sometimes I'm not going to give you an answer, but you know, when I don't give you an answer, I'll give you a peace that's better than an answer. Wow. We serve a great God. My goodness. Well, you'll know this. Right? Walk in the Spirit. Right? And we can do that daily. And even through trials, we can have choice. Right? Then sometimes we're going to have trials. When we have our trials, we'll take the playbook. Right? And then when your playbook doesn't do enough, and even if your playbook doesn't do enough, as a matter of fact, before you even get in your playbook, sit down and talk to me. Coach, hey, coach, need some help. Sometimes you know the answer already, but it's good just to talk to coach, right? Sometimes I have the answer, and I'll come, hey, Coach Austin, what do you think about that? I've seen something already, and I'm kind of fired up about it, but I won't say, Coach, this is what I think, because I want his approval, right? Hey, Coach Austin, what do you think about this? You know, Coach, I'm already thinking, right? This is, and to be on that same page is a beautiful thing. Now, I need to hurry. Pastor Scott and Ruby see that, say, okay. I'm not telling this to you. Lord, please forgive me. But I have a feeling, I'm not good with time, and I have a feeling that we're drawing on. So let's get to the area of special teams. Now special teams, when things get a little bit unpredictable, and we can't always predict what's going to happen, right? In life, we don't know what's going to happen. But I tell my guys this. I tell them, when you hear, you what, guys? Forget. There you go. When you hear, you forget. When you see, you remember. Yeah, that's it. And when you do, you understand. Now, I have to write it out on the board there so we can see it. And right now is their off season. Understand. They don't need to be all in team and all that. But when you hear, you will forget. It is our nature, right? If you shout out a birthday to me, right, and a few names, right, I hear some stuff. And I may zero in on one thing, but I'm not going to get it all. When you hear, you forget. It's just our tendency, right? But when you see, then you remember. And when you do, you understand. Other words, it's great to have a game plan. It's great to have a good offense and a good defense. But past that, you gotta get an understanding. There's a proverb that says, in all you're getting, get understanding. Because in this game of life, I think the very first thing that we need to realize is understanding. In order to win, in order to be a champion at this life, the very first thing we need to understand is, well, it's not about this life. Right? The fact is, it's not about this life. Special teams, all right? We got two things in special teams, right? I want the very first thing is to understand, A, that it's not about this life. It's not. Right? The real victory, Break Up Sunday, is in heaven. So we're going to experience some things down here. But we need to always be able to understand and keep the perspective. Even when the worst thing, even when our worst fear comes true, we need to understand that we have the victory. It's been given to us already. Can you imagine how we would have played the game if they had told us before the game you won already? You think we had a good time out there? Man, if they said, hey, you already won. What? We would have been doing some flips. And, wow. But God told us this. Look. You already won, man. Yeah. Victory is already yours. Well, sometimes you walk around looking at victory. How can you have joy amidst significant controversy, even tragedy? Because you already won, man. You already won. Now, that's great, but in this life, right? In this life, it is nice to have some victories. I mean, as much as I love the Lord, right, and as much as I'm willing to be humble and serve Him and say, Lord, this is whatever little crumbs you send my way, right, I'll be grateful for that. It sure is nice to be grateful for Him. I'm telling you that. I'm telling you, John, it's good because sometimes I have some reward in this life. It is, right? And so with that, the first thing to understand, right, perspective, understanding is this, is that in order to be a champion in this life, the first thing you have to understand is not about this life. Right? Then the second thing we need to understand, right, is that in this life, that what God has for us is what is better than what we have for ourselves. You know, one of the real gut-wrenching things is that it's so hard to understand that by coming to church, right, or giving up things, we think of them as giving up. You know, when you became a Christian, like what I used to love the dance, guys. I did. And when I came to Toronto, I was with one of the leaders in the Christian group that meets, right? And then I used to go out, right, and dance. I never drink, never smoke, right? Never, but my wife I was dating at the time, right? She was back in Florida, right? And so I had no interest in talking to girls or anything when I worked there. I just loved to dance. But you know, when I went to the club and they were dancing, right? Then there was some other guys who were in that Bible study with me, right? Who didn't have the same control that I did. But when I was there, it said it was okay for them to be there. Right? So what did I have to do? Well, is it fair for me to, I'm there and I ain't drinking, I ain't smoking, I ain't trying to pick up no woman. I just want to dance. Can't I dance? I mean, why should I have to give that up? Right? I enjoy that. Well, you know what? It's not about giving it up. It's about what's up. It's about not causing my brother to stop stomach. And when you do that, God, you know what? When I decided, well, I'm not gonna go there anymore because, you know, these guys can't help. I don't even remember when I stopped. It wasn't a big deal. And so then I started doing the dance on the team, teaching the guys how to dance. So I had a big celebration for dreams. And so we managed troops that way. He taught me a different dance. That was awesome. First of all, the champion in this life that is not about this life. Secondly, that in this life, if you want to win, if you want to get real food, if you want to have success in this life, you have to first of all understand that what God has for us is even better than what we have for ourselves. For me, when I got to high school, I convinced myself by the end of high school because I was so small that I didn't want to play in college. Because everybody told me I was going to be too small to play. I went on and became a college All-American. But in college, I had gone to college to get a good education. I went to a school called William & Mary. It was the only place where New Hope's coach and they had a losing record. And when they asked me about it, they said, well, we have too many Marys and not enough Williams, right? So not a tremendous football reputation. Right? But in that, right, my desire was to go there and to get a good education, right, and then get a job. And it was working out fine because I interned at a company called Honeywell for all 3 summers, after my freshman, junior, and sophomore year, and they were going to pay for me to get my MBA. But then I became a college All-American, right? But you're too small to play in the NFL. So I never thought. I had conditioned myself to think that I really didn't want to play at the pro level. But my love, of course I wanted to play. But you know what? I had conditioned myself. But God, you know, I got something else for you. So then I played with the Kansas City Chiefs. Became, I think, still the shortest player to ever make an NFL roster. And ran for a bunch of yards here, I think more than anybody in CFL or NFL history. Then said, okay, people asked me, would you ever be a coach? And my canned response was, you know, I'm an eternal optimist, so I never say never. But I'll never coach, right? That was my canned response.
hand responds. And then he made me a coach. He says, okay, I'm not going to give you a chance to, I'm going to have your boss do it right in the middle of the year. Right? I was playing one week and coaching the next week. Right? But he gave me the promise that he says, you know, you're not going to be a coach for long. Just get us to this point. So after a year and a half, he brought me to the front office. And so there I was in the front office and going along and things weren't going so well on the field. He says, hey, Michael, I want you to coach me. And now, that's a great change. You know what? What God has for me has always been better than what I've had for myself. He's always about that. Know that you can't outdo God. I probably should have done my closing already, so I'm going to go ahead and abbreviate this and say very quickly that we've said all these things about all the special teams, but the very first thing is you've got to be on the team. You see, none of these things mean anything if you haven't got except for Jesus Christ in your life. The way to win. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Right? You can start life however you choose. Right? As long as you finish life in Christ. Know that the quicker you make that decision, the greater joy you're going to have in life. Right? I petition you to make that decision right now. Why not? And I don't believe anything crazy or weird. As a matter of fact, because people say before you know, this Christianity thing, it's a crutch. You're putting your faith in something that, okay, but I kind of, you know, sometimes an answer is insufficient, right? Because they don't know what I know. Right? And so sometimes I like to just, hey, return a question with a question. Okay, so you're saying my faith is a crutch. Well, what do you have your faith in? Oh, so your faith is in, well, nothing, sitting around chilling one day. Nothing was sitting around chilling, nothing to do, nothing to say, hey, you know what, I'll make something. So nothing, you know, with nothing to do. You know, make two new slots faster bigger than the world itself. Right? And then, you know, nothing, you know, if you, you know, sitting around chilling, nothing to do, so nothing made something, which ended up being these two leaves rock masses bigger than the world itself, decided to collide or bake these two rock masses together. We call it the Big Bang Theory. Have you ever thought about that? No, really. Nothing sitting around chilling, nothing to do. So nothing decided to make something. And nothing makes two huge rock masses bigger than the world itself. And they make two huge rock masses, they hit each other, and they collide. Boom! And when something collides like that, what happens? It blows up, man. It burns. It disintegrates. And but it's not disintegrating. What they want to tell you and I is that, no! Down over here came the great thing. Right? And no! Down over here came 9 o'clock. And no! Down over here came a giraffe. And no! Down here came Pitbull. And then you know what? They have the nerve to call me crazy. All I believe is that you're anointed, that a God of the universe created us all. Right? When I was 8 or 9 years old, in vacation Bible school, I accepted Christ in my life. At that time, I came to understand that God was here in perfection and I was here in perfection. Right? And that Jesus Christ came to bridge that gap. If I accepted Jesus Christ in my life, right, I was in eternity. In other words, I would be a champion in 2004. The champion for life. I thank you so much for this time. God bless you. I'm going to ask Diane to come and sing for me, and Pastor will close. And as she comes and takes the stage, she's going to sing a song called I Can Only Imagine. Can you imagine what that day is going to be like? I want you to listen to the words as she sings the song. I Can Only Imagine. champion the lack of offense, walk in the spirit. Defense is your playbook and prayer. Special teams, know that it's not about this life. And in this life, what God has for us is better than we have for ourselves.